Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, March 10th, 2011. Going right into the show tonight. A lot of material to cover. The two main science topics I will be talking about tonight, there's been strange reaction to my new book, The Diamond Principle. And I won't be talking specifically about it, but I'll be talking about some recent reaction. And of course, that book leads to some very pointed and very, let's say, according to standard science, would be some very unusual views of how we should be going into outer space as a population. And the need for that, well, just you can look at this if you go to the newsstand, Popular Science, I believe this is the March 2011 issue, has as its cover story, it says, After Earth, the Case for Populating the Universe and How We'll Get There. And wow, is that a disinformation article. Just NASA and government programs all the way. And of course, that's exactly not how we will get anywhere. So, but the going through the article, it's interesting to see the level of tier two science that's being thrown at this and the twists and the turns. And so I think it's important. And also in this time, there's been a lot of Planet X false information coming out. I'll be talking about that. And this is all very related because you'll see the twists and turns in this Popular Science article. And understand, Popular Science is a magazine that reaches the general John Q. public out there. A lot of, it's more, I don't know if it's more for blue collar, but it's more for the average guy on the street, than say Astronomy Magazine. There's a certain, techie kind of crowd that might read that, but your average person on the street is not going to read Astronomy Magazine, probably not going to read Discover Magazine even, or National Geographic, or let me see, there's a lot of those other sources that really bring out the Tier 2 science and promote it. But Popular Science really reaches that broad spectrum public audience. And so anyway, to see how they twist this to give you a delusionary false hope for the future based on Tier 2 science, it just, these are the kind of things, the subtleties that it's important to understand for the public, because misinformation is very important to understand, not just because of what it says, but because of the things that it is hiding. So once we get through looking at that article, what is it hiding? What's going on today in your lives? What are the big issues behind the scenes that, for example, the political scene in the world today is ramping up at breakneck pace? Why is that happening? I will also be talking about the fact that, and this is, I have to really explain in detail what's happened this last week. Got an announcement from Mountain House Food, and of course I've been selling their number 10 can by the case. They have completely shut off commercial sales. I have some sales that are in the loop. Some people who have ordered, have their orders in will still get Mountain House freeze-dried food. But the new orders coming in will be shifting to the grab-and-go buckets, which is not coming from the same source within. It's complicated, but it's a mixture. It's a private mixture that was warehoused before the shutdown of Mountain House. Anyway, I'll go through all of this and explain the complications, but how the fact that we are still able to ship emergency food and how this is going to work. So I know a lot of people, but there again, what's going on here? Why did the government move in to a source, one of the main primary sources of emergency food, and buy it all so that they get it all and you don't get any? Anyway, that's in the loop here, so I'm sure a lot of people want to listen to that. And what is the end result of that? What's going on? What's the government preparing for? And why are they buying all the food that's coming off the assembly line in these emergency food outlets? So, and this is a lot bigger than that FEMA purchase. I've also heard that, remember, I was on the Coast to Coast show a number of weeks ago. I think it was Wednesday, February 16th. And I talked about the FEMA purchase of 140 million meals ready to eat, MREs. And that purchase has expanded to 400 million and beyond. And so we really, somebody's preparing big time for something. And it's not just a little, not that the earthquake in central USA would be little, but on that show I explained how the devastation would not be equivalent to what they were ordering. So something else is going on. That's the bottom line. I will be talking about that. First, a couple of announcements here. There have been a number of false Planet X sighting announcements coming out recently, and of course, I'm one of the first people that that the public goes to for some kind of sane analysis. And you have to understand, if I jumped up and down and reacted to every time some Looney Tune out there cried Planet X, that would be all that I would do. My page would be just responding to every lunatic out there that cried Planet X, because it's been going on all the time for the last 10 years. There's some people out there trying to copy my material. There's some people out there that might seem to have good intentions, but I really don't know what they're doing. They're very usable by the disinformation crew. Some of these people get almost religious about it, that, you know, Jesus is coming to save them. And these are people, a lot of times, like I say, they have maybe good intentions, but they're very gullible, very usable. And that has been going on. So let me just give you a couple pointers on what to look for. If the announcement shows Planet X, first of all, if it shows Planet X, then that's something that any of us, including myself, can sit down and verify. One of them had a picture of a so-called Planet X object next to the sun. Complete false information. That is not what Planet X would look like. If it looks like a big planet, that is the disinformation crew at work. Remember all of the whole plethora of Planet X books that came out over the last number of years, and all the nouveau Planet X experts. They've been studying it for 30 years, and they were all an expert. Well, none of them had been studying anything for 30 years, and except maybe how to turn in the TV set in their grandma's basement. But the point is, they were put on radio shows, their information was out there, their books were all of a very high quality printing quality, and all of this came off the same printing press, but they all had something in common, the cover of these books, including a false representation of the Colburn, that has a big orange ball on the cover. That's the one thing they all had in common. Planet X, when it comes in, and if it comes in, and when it comes in, is going to be a large raging comet. It's going to break the solar capacitor, just like a comet, just like, that's why I've been doing these series of shows regarding the discharge of the solar capacitor, what comets look like, etc., because it's very important for the public to understand that any object, including a big object, especially a big object coming into the solar system, would look like a large comet, not a round planet. So that's your key. When you see something up there on YouTube or on wherever it's posted, somebody's website or whatever, if it looks like a big orange planet, that's your key. That is misinformation, because that's not what Planet X is going to look like. And the barrage of this information that is coming out now also tells me in addition to the fact that the government is buying up all of the emergency food in sight, I don't believe this food is going into emergency bins for you, the public. I believe it is going, and I said this on Coast to Coast, where is this food going, and that it is being purchased for special interest groups through government agencies. Those government agencies have the ability to go in, buy the food, and then move it off to places. And it isn't going into warehouses for you and me. It's going into warehouses for special interest groups. And so at any rate, all of these things put together, why, and now I've been around the emergency preparedness world for a pretty long time, and probably longer than a lot of people in this industry. I've lived in remote areas of the world, lived in what some people might consider survival conditions, although I don't consider it survival, I just consider it living with the poor people. But the point is that why all of a sudden is the government purchasing all of this food, everything they can get their hands on? Something is going on. So at any rate, the false sightings of Planet X. Now let me explain too. Every year about June or early, late May, mid-May to late June, the Planet X goofy crowd or the disinformation crowd comes out and starts blasting misinformation about Planet X, or the whole series of asteroids are going to collide with Earth, and they give dates. They will always give a date, and then it comes and goes, and then the white horse, the white hats come in and say, look at how ridiculous those Planet X people are. These are misinformation waves. They're orchestrated. They're meant to throw the public off. And the whole idea is to give a barrage. It's kind of like flak. In warfare, airplanes will come through and they'll throw a metal shrapnel out to throw off the radar. And that's what this is. It's just throwing metal shrapnel into the information pool. Then everybody that comes along will be in that information pool, and it'll all sound goofy to the average person. These are well-orchestrated misinformation campaigns to throw the public off. So number one, if it looks like a big planet, it is not Planet X, okay? Next to the sun, no. How is it going to get next to the sun without us seeing it, okay? Without us seeing this major thing come in. All of a sudden there it is next to the sun? I don't think so. Comets have snuck into the solar system, the biggest comets in history in the recent past decade, have snuck into the solar system, but at some point somebody sees them before they get too far beyond the orbit of Jupiter into the inner solar system. Somebody picks them up and says, hey, there's something there. So, no, all of a sudden to appear next to the sun, not, okay? So, and then also they use what appear to be foreign news services with somebody sitting there reading the news in Chinese or Japanese and something like this. So, at any rate, now the twist to that is why all the disinformation stories on Planet X so early in the what I would call disinformation season. It's not June yet. It's not May yet. Remember that the 2003 Planet X goofy lady talking to aliens that the world was going to end then, all of that information was supposed to be May 15th, 2003, if you remember that. And I spent a good time and every radio show telling people that that was a false story, that that was misinformation. The building of that story goes all the way back to 1995. And a group of people involved in it's a very complicated story. I've talked to that. It goes back to people writing software for, it's called Promise Software for the government. A lot of these people ended up being disinformation agents in the goofy Planet X scenario, some of them being married in their previous lives, and they were programmers in this Promise Software group. At any rate, that's a very complicated story. It ended up with the suicide of about 37 people in Los Angeles, the Heaven's Gate group, and that's a very complicated story in itself. It's very complicated. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But the bottom line is that these disinformation movements and stories are well orchestrated behind the scenes. So at any rate, the other thing that happens, and I've said this before, that before any major natural events, the world political situation would be thrown into strife on all fronts. And of course, you could say that almost at any time that the world has high level of strife politically in the world. But right now, I know from information that's come to me from people that I've, let's say, run into lately and had conversations with, that a lot of third world foreign government leaders have been told to prepare their countries' political situation to throw those countries into chaos so that they can be put under martial law. So at any rate, when you see these things happening, these are the things that are going on. Now, let me explain something about the ancient prophecies, just so that this is crystal clear. When you talk about the ancient prophecies, it's very clearly they are talking about comets. Let's take the prophecies and the some of the last day teachings, the end day prophecies, coming from the New Testament, from the Testament, from the first four books of the New Testament. And what they basically talk about is very distinct, that you will see, first of all, signs in the heavens. Okay, well, a lot of stuff goes on in the sky. But you will see the stars seeming to fall from the sky. The moon will turn to blood. These are the ancient things that happened. They are characteristic of a large comet coming through the solar system. So in a very subtle way, those messages were passed on to people who did not understand. The other message that was passed on was that when these events would begin to happen, large numbers of people would be sent out to cause misinformation to fool the public. And so at any rate, when you look at those, what the prophecy said, the stars will seem to fall from the sky. Those are the meteor streams. The stars just don't fall from the sky. These are symbolisms that are very important to understand, because in our modern age, we understand that that represents a comet. Not a big round planet that's just sitting out there. No, it's a comet. So those messages have been sent to us from long ago. One of the big reasons I was given the Colburn back in the early... Oh, when did that come to me first? I don't even want to tell you when I first got that. The Colburn was originally published in the early 1990s by the Chaldean Trust. You can get a copy of the real Colburn. Go to chaldeantrust.org. There's a link on my homepage. And that's where you can get the real Colburn. If you get the one off Amazon, that is not the real Colburn. That's the disinformation crew substitute. So at any rate, but when I first got my hands on the Colburn, it was one of three copies in the United States. It was a closely guarded book. And it was the people got it to me because they said, this guy can interpret what this is saying. It was very clear from the Colburn that they were talking about not one comet, but many large comets in the sky at the same time. And that was one of the points that Velikovsky missed when he did his great work explaining what the ancients said about the comet Venus, which was captured by Jupiter, later worked its way through the solar system, and eventually became the planet Venus. The one thing he missed in his work was that there were many comets at that time. And so the Colburn is very crystal clear on that point. And so there again, let's go back a number of weeks ago, that misinformation article that came out the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, claiming that scientists from Louisiana had predicted a Planet X object, a 10th planet, so to speak, but way out there in the Oort cloud, and it would send a lot of comets into the solar system. Well, gee, was NASA and the government and the bankers that control them, were they setting up their cover story for why there would be a lot of comets? A lot of those snowball comets that you shouldn't pay any attention to, remember. Okay, at any rate, the scene is set right now, and you start to look at what I call indicators. Okay, let's review the indicators. The misinformation stories coming out, false stories about Planet X. Look over here, but don't look over there. And it's got everybody looking around, and then see the misinformation stories allow the white hats, the government, what I call the white hat astronomers, to ride in, save the day and say, oh, look at this goofy stuff, these Planet X people are at it again. And so it's all a contrived dog and pony show to mislead the general public. That's why I've said all along, if people are just coming in and starting to listen to this and understand this at this time, good grief, you've got a lot to learn, and you've got a lot to learn very fast, because the misinformation out there is thick, and it is being put out by people with PhDs in misinformation. They know how to fool the public. They know how to say things to fool the public. And so when I start going through this article that's in Popular Science, I'll go through the construction of a well-constructed misinformation article. Although a lot of the people in this article are sincere people. They think they're doing a good job, but they have no clue what's really going on in the world around them or that they are being used, or that they're tier two scientists, and this is not the real science. There's a lot of cover science going on. I'll bring up some of these topics again as I work into the show a little later on. First of all, a little bit of an aside note here. The economy, if you look on the major indicators on the economy today, what do they show? Facebook and iPhones versus the Android phones or the phone technology, cell phone technology and that type of thing, or Facebook. When these are the major industries, we have a serious problem. The economy is in serious trouble when Facebook is your major industry. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when the iPhones that access these web page services, when those are the major industries, we're in big trouble. It's just an economy that's off course so far that it's not even the train heading down the tracks to the bridge that's missing. The train has long since gone over the edge and is just plummeting down into a precipice and is currently crashing. So at any rate, big companies, big corporations are unable to manage their businesses. A good example is that whenever you call big corporations today, typically you get very poor service in the fact that you are on hold, you were transferred from this group to that group to another group. I know of examples where there is good service from some companies, but it's few and far between. The average company is very poorly organized, and they're always happy to sell you something, but the customer service end of it is pathetic. And it's just another symptom of economy in decay. That is, the companies are not able to handle the business that they have. The housing industry is a perfect example. So at any rate, I'm not going to go into the economy of the United States or the world at this point, but all I'm going to say is when the world economy, when the biggest industry is Facebook, wow, is it in serious trouble. Okay, there's was an article this past couple of days, was on CNN, on the internet, it said the three things that America must do to get back on track. Wow. I could tell America three things they got to do to get back on track, but it'll never happen. But anyway, I just wanted to review the three things that CNN said that we have to do to get back on track. First of all, they said we have to get the filibuster removed from Congress because now it takes 60% of Congress to do anything. And so that in a country where the opinions are divided nearly 50-50 and it takes 60% of Congress to pass anything, this prevents any progress from happening. Well, I got news for CNN. Congress itself is the obstacle to progress. Congress is nothing more than what we call window dressing. They don't have any power. They don't do anything. And they're just the dog and pony show that gives most people the illusion we live in a democratic society. So we have false democracy, false hope, and every 4 to 6 years we have another election where people think, wow, we're really going to elect in this new group of people and there's going to be change. And as long as they can keep that dog and pony show going, the way the world is working continues to go on unabated. Okay, number two thing that CNN says that we have to do is increase science education. I couldn't be more in agreement with them. But once again, it's never going to happen. 95% of what you learn in a science textbook is wrong because it doesn't teach the fundamental principles of what is going on in the universe, and everything from there follows. NASA, Tier 2 science reigns supreme. It has been forced into the textbooks. So how on earth are we ever going to advance education in science when NASA is our leadership? And that's where people look for expertise. So at any rate, that will never happen. Also, mathematics is at a very low point. I mentioned on my show the other week that the current estimate, and this is not from me, this is from the government statistics, one third of fourth graders cannot read a sentence and tell you what that sentence said. So this is, they do not meet basic levels. If you want to get up to standard levels, you're pushing 50 to 60% of students cannot read at a standard acceptable level in fourth grade. So how are they ever going to continue? How are they ever going to get anywhere if they've lost that? Education is a chain. It's a chain with links. It's a chain with basis. It's a system where you have to build on a strong basis. If you cannot read, you cannot learn. It's very simple. But the educational system is not going to change. It's overpriced, and it's simply been mismanaged. So the only thing you can say there is, will science education improve? All the studies in the world and all the efforts and all the future funding in the world will not change the fact that we are in a science, in the dark ages, in science. Bloodletting would be a modern advancement, according to a lot of the things that are going on in science today. So, will science increase in this country? The answer is no. Should it increase? Of course. Are we losing a grip on the world? Well, when most kids sit around, go home, and play video games, yeah, we're pretty much lost on that front. And as far as America going on a diet, well, with the multinationals running our food supply, I would really choose to go on a diet of good food. But good food is going to be increasingly more difficult to get. At any rate, okay, so the CNN top three things that America must do to get back on track, none of them are going to happen. Okay, so now I'm going to move into the main science topics. Let me first start off, because I know a lot of people are interested in this, the food issue. This past week, I got notification, as did all the people who sell Mountain House food, that there is that Mountain House, which is a branch, that's the commercial branch of the Oregon food, freeze-dried food, the commercial branch, which is Mountain House, will no longer take orders. And so right now we're shuffling through the, we're finishing up dealing with orders that we have already, a lot of them being shipped out. Some of those final orders, we're asking people to switch to the grab-and-go buckets for equivalent value and dollar amounts. And so far, that's pretty much been 100% of the people have accepted that, simply because, first of all, it's a good replacement, and second of all, it's the only thing available. And they're actually excellent, and it's amazing that these were able to come online. We have basically two warehouses full of the grab-and-go buckets, and these are apportioned food amounts in terms of 1 month per one person. And so, basically, you get for the 1 month supply, you get the buckets of food. All apportioned out. You can get a standard, which is the for an average person, or you can get the hearty, which is for a person with a more hearty appetite. But 1 month supply of food in a cell, in a pre-measured amounts, ready to go. And what I've done is I've compared this to some of the other meals of the freeze-dried food, which is, like as I said, no longer available. And it really, dollar for dollar and amount of food for amount of food, balances out just about perfectly. So people are not, say, taking a loss of any kind. In fact, it's a good substitute, and given the fact that it's the only thing available now, like I say, most people jump at the chance of getting this. Plus, the grab-and-go buckets, as I said, are in stock, and we can ship those immediately. The food, the lead time on the freeze-dried food had been growing to 6 months and beyond, or not 6 months, I'm sorry, 6 weeks and beyond. And so people were very patient, and I appreciate that, people's patience. But then, as I said, number of days ago, we got the letter basically stating that Mountain House would no longer take orders. And, of course, the reason was is the government came in and simply bought all future capacity. And so I think it's very important that people wake up and understand that the grab-and-go buckets are available. There might be a day in which they may not be available. We don't know. But the demand has shot up markedly over the past week on the grab-and-go buckets. But as I said, those are available and in stock and ready to go. This is something that we were expecting to happen, but when it happens, it always somewhat takes you by surprise. So at any rate, as I said, the Mountain House freeze-dried number 10 cans in cases, that's what I was selling previously, no longer available because the government has basically come in and purchased all future capacity. We don't know why, but you can make your own guess as to why and what that food might be going for. The other point is that, yeah, the grab-and-go buckets are there. Also mentioned that the water filters are in stock. Flax is in stock. That's something that everybody should have. And then my books, etc., all in stock, ready to ship. Okay, I'm going to move on to this popular science article because it mixes in very well with everything else that has been going on. Now, in August, I released my latest book, The Diamond Principle. In fact, it was August 3rd. I remember that day well. August 3rd, 2010, I released the new book, The Diamond Principle, which did two things. It did an analysis and made an analysis of modern society, showing that we were marching down the wrong road and that the space efforts that we have are, and the science that is going on are woefully poor. And I repeat in that book many times the bad science and astronomy. It's just important to understand the bad science and astronomy that is being promoted to the public. The second half of the book shows that nature has a plan for us. The first part of the book also does an analysis on modern society, showing how we are not living according to nature's plan. And the space program is a perfect example. All materials have to be shipped from Earth to space at great expense, but at great profit for the aerospace companies. Aerospace is a business. It's not about going into space. No aerospace corporation, president, CEO has ever gone into space, nor have they ever wanted to go into space. What's wrong with that picture? It's all about the money, government contracts, military, etc., and a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. But the bad science that is pawned off on the public, that is the issue that I've been trying to pound on so that you understand. So it's ultimately important to try and convince the public that what NASA is doing, rockets, chemical rockets, etc., are going to somehow take us to the universe. And so this article is a perfect example of misinformation. Okay, so at any rate, this is, as I said, March 2011 issue of Popular Science. It's the cover story. It's on page 46 in that issue. Okay, now the first thing you look at, I'm going to go through this article and break it down and tell you, just examine it from a realistic point of view, from my own personal analysis. Listen to what it says right off the bat. It says, it answers some questions. Why, where, how, and when? Okay. So the first thing it says is that Earth won't always be fit for occupation. We know that in 2 billion years or so, an expanding sun will boil away our oceans. Wow. Misinformation right out of the chute. Don't worry about this, folks. What's the very first thing it tells you? This is going to happen in 2 billion years. You don't have to think about it now, so don't even worry about it. So the first thing it does is it turns a button off, a knob off in your brain, that this is 2 billion years away, and we have plenty of time to get ready. Then it says, we could also be wiped out if we hadn't already been wiped out by the Andromeda Galaxy, which is on a multi-billion year collision course with the Milky Way. Another multi-billion year scenario. Gee, folks, you don't have to worry about any of these. These are billions of years away in the future. Okay, so right away you see the misinformation setting the tone for this article for the common man. As I said at the beginning of the show, this Popular Science is a magazine for the common man. Now, the picture is even more interesting that goes with you. That's why I encourage you to pick up the magazine. It shows about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It shows 8 rockets firing up to this space station, all of them with there's more hidden in here somewhere. With rocket fuel blasting out the back. It looks like a Russian rocket here, a bunch of space shuttle looking things, kind of an X-plane looking things, kind of an airliner looking things, all of these jetting their way up to and rocketing their way up to this space station. Rockets, rockets, rockets. They don't show you the front side of the rockets, and the biggest one, of course, is a shuttle-looking thing with its rockets going, all of these rocketing with big smoke streams behind, etc., rocketing up to the space station. As I said in the Diamond Principle, rockets will not get us anywhere in outer space. They're the false hope of the space program, and just by their very nature, they will not take us anywhere over the last 50 years. If you'll look at it, they've been the downfall of our whole space program. Understand that there are ways to get into outer space with electromagnetic propulsion systems. None of that is ever mentioned here. Only methods that will never get us into space. Okay, so Then it says that, of course, they do the traditional asteroid might collide with Earth, but that only happens every 300,000 years. So don't worry about that one either. They talk about man-made disasters, and there's actually some weaving in throughout this story. There are some good commentary by some of the scientists that work in this field, but it is dominated by bad science. Okay. Secondly, it says when we go over to the next page here, the text, it says some scenarios have climate change leading to severe water shortages. Wow. They got to throw that in, that climate change will lead to water shortages. Now, one of the main control issues that has always been undercurrent in primary in the global warming, the global climate change world, headed by Al Gore, who, by the way, invented the internet, supposedly, according to him. One of the main scenario, one of the first things they always talk about is water shortage. There is no water shortage on Earth. In fact, if there's an increase in temperature, the glaciers will melt, and 95% of the Earth's fresh water is locked in glaciers. So we have basically a 20-time increase in fresh water. We don't have a water shortage. We have a water management and control problem where certain groups are now controlling water. We don't have a water shortage problem. The Earth is heating up because we're coming out of an ice age. We're coming out of an ice age because we were thrown into an ice age when the last Planet X-type object came through the solar system and devastated Earth, sent us into an ice age glaciation when Venus came through the solar system and became the planet, the Venus, the comet, within the last 10,000 years. So anyway, Earth is coming out of that ice age, warming up to temperatures that were there before. So at any rate, that is the cause, not due to man-made climate change. And it's not going to bring about a water shortage. It's going to bring about a plethora of water. But they're using this, the international elite, to control water. So this article moves immediately into that scenario. You can see how these are crafted to control the public. And then it goes down farther. It says, climate change is already a major factor in human affairs. Excuse me, I have to take a drink here. So my voice lasts to the end of this show. Now it says, listen to this. NASA completed a $200 million study in the year 2000 in reporting that a colony could be dug a few feet beneath our moon's surface. And I'm going, $200 million in the year 2000. It's now 2011. Where is this gone? Well, it hasn't gone anywhere. 11 years later, where are we with this $200 million NASA study? Also, I said in my book, The Diamond Principle, that going to other planets, including our moon, is a bad idea. Landing on another celestial object and then escaping from that object with craft is very, very difficult and costly. So that the thing we have to do is simply put large space stations into orbit, spirit them away from Earth, and then I show how nature has provided electrical propulsion systems using natural means and the electricity in the solar system to provide us with the means to take these large space stations into space. And I also mentioned that the economic model of investor capitalism, etc., cannot do this because there's no profit involved. Government programs would have no incentive because the aerospace corporations would have no profit. It would not profit anybody to put a bunch of material together, put a bunch of people on it, send it out into outer space where it would never come back. There's no profit there. They have to keep supplying from Earth. That's part of the profit cycle in outer space. And it's also putting a planet, a plant or a station on the moon of any kind is a bad idea, because if Planet X were to come by and wipe out Earth, it's going to wipe out the moon too. It could wipe out Mars. So putting, or they're talking here about the moons of Jupiter. Any of these places are bad, bad ideas for the same reason. The reason we got to get off this planet is because of Planet X scenarios. Not a little asteroid hitting Earth. Because if a little asteroid hits Earth, it's not going to hit the moon or Mars or the moons of Jupiter. But a Planet X type object is going to affect all of them. So you can see once again, tier 2, bad science leading to incorrect conclusions, and also making this article very much a tier 2 gee whiz article in which a lot of scenarios are given which will not work. Now, I love this one, going on to page 51. They're talking about population cylinders. Now, I also talk about cylinders. It's a very different model, which provides gravity, artificial gravity by spinning. They're saying that in 1974, a Princeton University physicist, Gerald O'Neill, presented a design of rotating cylinders. And, gee, you could have up to 150 people on one of these. And I thought, 150 people, they could die overnight of pneumonia, and you'd have nobody there. See, this is another misinformation point. And they say they'd have 150 people to avoid the consequences of inbreeding. No, you need millions of people to avoid the consequences of inbreeding. And that's what my book also states. But they're talking about putting 150 people in space. And, of course, they would be well-chosen people with training and government backgrounds, wouldn't they? Wouldn't be you and me. You and me would not be included in that 150 people, would it? And so then they talk about stranger things like, gee, if they needed more DNA, they could go to a DNA pool, like a gene pool, frozen gene pool, to expand the population. So once again, now then they start talking about going to exoplanets, other star systems, and then populating there. Well, you're not going to get to one of those other star systems and planets if you don't have a spacecraft that is autonomous, that can do that, or have a propulsion system to get there. They're talking about some that could be 20 light years away, but once again, highly futuristic. We'd have to build space stations, have exploratory trips to those planetary systems, get information back, and then send colonization crews out to those planets. And just remember that Earth has thousands of factors that make it habitable for us. We will not just jump onto some other planet and plant corn and start living there. Highly, highly unlikely. Okay, when they talk about propulsion systems, they only talk about impulse rocket type propulsion systems. They're talking about fusion engines or plasma engines. There's problems with these, and I enumerate those in the Diamond Principle, by the simple fact that you have to carry or acquire fuel as you move along. You have to heat that up and then blast it out the back end. There are limitations, severe limitations, to any type of rocket. These are what you call inertial rockets. You heat up a fuel and blast it out the back end, but there is what is called the rocket problem. I described this in the Diamond Principle. So you see that everything they're saying in this article is misinformation. It's led to give you false hope. It's giving you a bunch of gee-whiz science that simply will not work. The rocket problem is as follows. Say you want to go a certain distance or a certain velocity with a rocket. Okay, simple physics. You heat up a propellant to a certain temperature, blast it out the back end of the rocket, and you make the rocket go. Say you want to go twice as far. Okay, do you add twice as much fuel? Well, no, there's a problem. Because to get the first velocity, now you're carrying a bunch of dead weight. It's the fuel you need to go on the second part of the ride. And so now you need more fuel to propel the fuel that you need for the second part. So you can see that this is an exponential problem, and the size of rockets gets unwieldy. That's why Earth rockets going into low Earth orbit, you have, for example, the Space Shuttle or the Saturn V rocket, the weight ratios are about the same. You have about 7 million pounds of fuel to get a 20,000-pound spacecraft into space. You see the problem? And that's just low Earth orbit. The rocket problem is real. It is the biggest problem we face in getting into outer space. That's why I worked on what I call the non-inertial engines. They're the only way to go into space, and nature has provided us with these simple mechanisms to go to space and to eventually travel amongst the stars. I did a talk back in the early 2000s on something I had actually developed in the 1980s. I call it the electric highways to the stars. The electric current streams that are naturally occurring in nature, which allow us to ride these electrical currents to go into outer space. We can launch vehicles. There's evidence that the Atlanteans had this capability of going into outer space, going to Mars, going to other planets, and traversing the solar system and possibly even going to other stars, riding the electric currents and without carrying massive amounts of fuel. This is the only way and the best way and nature's way of visiting the planets and the stars. But you will not see any of that in this article, because this article is meant to show you all the ways that will never get us there, but pretend they are. They're talking about solar sails. They're talking about ion engines. They're talking about cannons that blast things into outer space. They're talking about the space elevator, something that I said, I was asked one time on Coast to Coast what I thought about the space elevator. And I made the point that it won't work. There's a reason why it will not work. The space elevator could not possibly work, because as you go vertical, there's a horizontal force that has to be overcome. A rocket has to go not only up, but it has to go sideways to put the object into orbit. The space elevator only has a vertical force. It doesn't have any horizontal force associated with it. So you're not going to put objects into orbit using a space elevator. I also go into that in my book. So once again, everything they're showing here is bad Tier 2 science. It won't work, but it's what's being fed to the public as the next wave, the how we're going to get to see the universe. That's the point of this article. It is all misinformation. They're talking about fusion drives. Once again, mining helium-3 from the moon or other celestial bodies. These are all pie-in-the-sky dreams that won't work, because you have to then carry that, you have to contain that fuel, you have to heat it up, you have to send it out the back of a spaceship, and none of these will work because you can't carry enough fuel to get you to the next star system, and then when you get there, remember, you have to slow down and stop. So how are you going to do this? Now they start talking about wormhole teleportation. Faster than light warp drives. Gee, that sounds like Star Wars to me. And these are all people that get paid to be in large universities in science. They should be science writers for Star Trek, not for real space programs. And all of this might sound good, but then they actually start talking about transmitting people, beaming people to certain places, like in Star Trek. Where they beam me up, Scotty, type of thing. All this is great, but this is not the type of thing that is going to get, this is not reality. This is not the basic person here. Now, let's understand that space is not difficult to get to. Bert Rutan proved that. And the one thing that I can agree with here a little bit is that they talk about private space programs. That is the one point that I agree with, although someone here says that money is needed to achieve outer space. And there again, the incentive, the investment incentive is simply not there. Why would anybody invest in spacecraft or spacecraft technology to get you into outer space? And then the final point is that anybody that would become self-sufficient enough to set off into outer space is not going to be allowed to do it because you're leaving the banking system. Then you have to understand that everything that's in place, look at your life today, how difficult it is to live, all of the trauma in the world, you can bring it all back to one very simple point, is that the banking controls this, and it needs all of you people out there working 24 hours a day thinking about the stock market and the job market and all of the different things that are going on, that there's salmonella in your spinach this week and you better get it from a government controlled source. Everything that is being pushed on you on the nightly news is for one thing and one thing only, and that's to keep you under the thumb of the elite of the world. What is going on now, and I can't say for sure, but it seems like all of the misinformation that's coming around now is indicating that something has been detected. Let's put it that way, in terms of a Planet X type object. And there again, there's a lot of misinformation. I personally don't have any direct information that there's anything there, but or coming in. If there were, I would tell you. I have some feelers out of my own, and I can't talk about those too much in public, but the point is that if something is seen, I will certainly inform people, but I'll also tell you when this wave of misinformation, and right now we're in a very serious wave of misinformation regarding Planet X, coupled with the fact that the government is buying up all available food in sight. All I can tell you is that, as I said, the grab-and-go buckets we have are available. We do have warehouses sitting there stored up, and they're going to go pretty fast. Those warehouses are going to empty out very fast. That's all I can tell you. So go and all I can do is tell people the way I see things, and that's my opinion. And that's why a lot of people tune into this show, is to hear my opinion. And a lot of people don't like what I say. Well, that's too bad. You can always turn your radio or your computer off, or your shortwave radio. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.